taped from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds. It's two comedians from New Jersey saying occasionally critical things about comics who are far more successful than we'll ever be. And God, that tagline is way too long.
We need to shorten that.
We need to shorten that. I'm John Trumbull. With me, as always, is my faithful co-host.
I'm Darren Patterson. Did you forget my name for a minute?
No. I thought I'd let you introduce yourself.
Oh, okay.
That's why I like gestured to you.
I see.
This was like, I'm queuing up for you to talk now.
I thought you were this close to saying, "Hey, I'm John Trumbull, and here is this guy."
This guy. I don't know who he is. He broke into the studio. Yeah.
I shimmied up the side of the studio and crashed through the window.
Yeah. Oh, well, we're already off to a roaring start.
Rip-roaring start, out the gate.
So you may be wondering, hey, there was no new episode of SNL this weekend. What the heck are you guys doing a new episode for?
Oh, we'll tell you.
Yeah. We're committed. We're committed. We decided we want to fill these skip weeks for the show and do theme shows about SNL in general. And we thought a good place to start would be to do our all-time favorite cast members.
Right. Now, these choices we have, there are personal favorites. I'm sure there'll be people listening that'll say, well, this guy was better, and so your list is wrong, and I'm right. Like, no, this is just our personal preference. So just lay off, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's, we were saying before we started recording that lists like these, they're really just a thing that gets conversations started.
Yeah.
So if we inspire some cool conversations, then we've done our job.
Yeah, it's like the same way people say, oh, who's the best guy in the NBA or who's the best footballer? You know, this is like that, but with nerdy Saturday Night Live people.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly. So what we decided to do was we both picked our top five cast members, top five favorite cast members of all time.
Right.
And we both have some honorable mentions as
well.
Absolutely. And we're gonna go back and forth. Just ping-ponging back and forth,
right.
And when one of us names a cast member, we'll discuss that cast member a bit, and I'm sure we're going to have some of the same people pop up on the same list.
There may be some crossover.
Yeah, we haven't discussed our choices.
That's right. This is a shock
before.
To both of us.
This is, we're going to be surprising each other.
Oh, my God. It's going to be scintillating.
It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a barn burner.
We're going to burn this barn.
That's right.
Burn it.
We're going to burn it to the ground.
That's right.
So, Should we start?
Yeah, sure. Do you want to start or should I?
I can start.
All right, hit it.
Okay. I just put my cast members in chronological order because that seemed to be the...
I put mine in no particular order. I literally just scribbled it on the way over here.
So this should not be a ranking of quality. This is just kind of like when they came on the show.
Okay.
So the first person I put on my list was Mr. John Belushi.
Ooh, John Belushi. So, he is not on my list, but I respect the choice.
An original cast member, he always put so much energy into his bits on the show.
Very much so.
And just like the things he did the samurai.
Cheeseburger. Two chips.
He did Little Chocolate Donuts. That's one of my favorite of the early sketches.
Blues Brothers, of course.
Blues Brothers. I mean, that's amazing.
The fact that he was that big a dude and so physical
He was almost graceful. I mean, he was like a high school athlete, I believe. I think he was like a wrestler or
it shows
like that. And so he did have a grace to him. He was. And, you know, he could dance.
Yeah, he could dance. He could do, like, cartwheels. Mm-hmm. He was, like, I mean, everybody knows, like, Chevy Chase was, like, the physical guy because, you know, when he did his...
The pratfall guy.
Pratfall guy. But it seemed like Belushi could have been... was just as physical as Chase. Like,
yeah.
The, you know, I'd like to feed your... to the Wolverines sketch.
Oh, yeah, the very first sketch.
The very first
on
one.
On SNL.
I mean, that was pretty physical. He grabbed his heart and, like, clumped over. I mean, he was... He was a ball of energy. People could not keep up with him.
Yeah, and I think a lot of some of that was cocaine. Some of that was him.
There was cocaine. Yes,
but
most of that was coke fueled.
Yeah, but I think he had just an amazing talent. I still think he's one of the most talented people to be in the SNL cast.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the dude was on fire. I mean, can't get out of that.
Yeah, and it's kind of amazing to think that he and Aykroyd, they were only on that show for 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so, because they left like a year before the other original cast.
The big exodus.
It was like
before the big.
Yeah, there was a year where it was the other original cast members like Jane Curtin and Bill Murray and That was the year they brought Harry Shearer on.
Okay. No, Bill Murray was an original cast member. He came on after Chase.
Well, but Bill Murray was still there.
Right, right.
Is what I'm saying.
Oh,
this was in year five.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay. But yeah, Belushi's a great. Do you have like a favorite sketch of it, or a favorite character of it? The samurai guy was.
Samurai is pretty high up there, like especially when he's playing with Buck Henry.
Yeah. Did you ever see that one? Like, I think I remember hearing about it years ago. Like, where, like, because I guess they used a real sword and he accidentally cut Buck Henry on the head.
Yeah, and they put a bandage on Buck Henry's head because he was bleeding so much on his forehead.
Yeah.
And I think at Good Nights, they put bandages on everybody else in the cast out of solidarity.
Yeah. I mean, for those that don't know, the basic premise, but what happened was they did a sketch called Samurai. Like lawyer or samurai attorney or something like that.
I don't remember which samurai it was, but
it was something like that. And like basically, Buck Henry was his client, and then I think at the end of the sketch, the samurai said, "Oh, he kind of," or maybe samurai stockbroker, something like that. But anyway, the samurai lost all of Buck Henry's money in the sketch. It's like, "Oh, I'm ruined. I have no money." Like, I wish there was a window in this office to jump out of. I would jump out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, with his samurai sword, he goes, "Dai!" And he, like, you know, he, like, kind of makes a window out of the wall. But when he was, like, kind of swinging that sword around, he accidentally cut Buck Henry. And you can see it on camera, like, him, like, kind of looking off camera, but like, "Oh, he just cut me." But, he kept going on with the sketch, and then he kind of jumped out the fake window. And as the show went on, he had a bandage on his head, then everybody had a bandage on their head, like in solidarity. So, I've never seen, I remember seeing that and thinking, wow, that's dedication.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's what you watch Saturday Night Live for when you see like truly unexpected things like that happen.
Yeah, like when people curse or something goes wrong on set or maybe one of the props doesn't work,
and you have to see them cover for it. I mean, that's when you really see what they're made of.
That's real some live stuff.
Yeah. So who is your first?
Okay. Let's go with one of my choices in the same era, in the same vein. I will go with one Gilda Radner.
There you go.
She had a really like nice, lovable spirit about her, and she was the same way. She kind of did all these sketches, all these characters, you know, Baba Wawa, and Rosanna Dana. I forget the name of the little girl she did.
I know who you mean.
Like the Girl Scout.
Yeah, I'm forgetting that character's name.
The nerdy girl, Lisa Lupner. I mean, she was...
Emily Letella.
Emily Letella. Oh, yeah, of course. Hearing. Oh, never mind.
Yeah, she was great.
I don't know. She's just one of the people in the sketches where you just kind of wanted to see what she was going to do next. She was like one of the... Once she was in a sketch, the focus was kind of on her to like... You know, in the same way, like now, like Kate McKinnon, everybody kind of focuses on Kate to see what she's going to do with the sketch or how she's going to elevate it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and she was awesome. I remember also seeing, she did that concert movie, Gilda Live, I think, that came out a year ago. That was a great movie.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
It was really good.
I need to track that down.
Yeah, yeah. I highly recommend it. It's like her doing a bunch of characters and like this rock and roll character she does once in a while, like Paul Scheer. In her band in the back.
You said Paul Scheer.
Jeez. All right.
Which would have been awesome because I'm sure Paul Scheer was just like a little guy at that time.
they looked at this little kid named Paul Scheer and they're like, you know what? This guy's going places. Put him behind the keyboard.
He is only 4 years old, but damn it, he's got something.
He's got the goods. Put this 4 year old behind the keyboard. But no, that character, you know, that rock and roll character she had, it was kind of like a Joan Jett type of vibe or a Pat Benatar type of thing. But that was, I mean, I don't know. She was just like a lovable, awesome spirit. I haven't seen the recent documentary that came out about her.
No, I haven't seen that either.
I've heard good things about it.
Yeah, I've only seen the trailer of that. I don't even remember what service that was on. That wasn't on Netflix, was it?
No, it was in the theaters for a bit. And then, I don't know if it's still in the theater, but I think it was in the theaters, but then it was also... like streaming somewhere, in the ethos, you can find it.
Yeah,
movies are just streaming all around us in the air now.
They are
in the cloud, as it were. Oh, just check the cloud.
Yeah. And she was actually the first person cast for SNL.
I did not know
that. The very first person cast, and
smart move.
Yeah, and she, I was looking through that the Live from New York book that's like the oral history of SNL.
Right.
And apparently Lorne at first didn't want to cast John Belushi. Gilda sat Shiva for him to change Lorne's mind.
Really?
That Belushi should be in the cast.
Why didn't he want to cast Belushi?
I don't know. I mean, maybe he just thought it wasn't right for what he had in mind or...
Hmm.
Who knows?
Interesting.
And another interesting thing is apparently Belushi was like a very sexist guy. And
yeah.
Women aren't funny. Yeah,
yeah.
He was of that philosophy that women just were not funny or are not funny.
Yeah.
And, but he made an exception for Gilda Radner because she was just so good.
But doesn't that disprove your whole theory that women aren't funny?
You would think, but
people aren't perfect. People.
Maybe he was like, oh, she's the exception that proves the rule, or so. I don't know.
So then there is no rule if you find this one woman funny, Belushi.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm screaming for all women out there. I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm an ally.
Yeah, the future's female, guys.
That's right. Damn straight. All right. But, so who do you get? Who else? Who's your second in command there?
My second choice was another. I would say he's like an original cast member by default, Bill Murray.
Of course.
Comes in the second year, replaces Mr. Chevy Chase, who was the first breakout star of the show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, blew the roof off the joint.
He really was. I mean, the loud singer, and in the fact he was kind of paired with Gilda, with the nerd, mm-hmm, the Loopner, mm-hmm, and Todd. Like, Todd.
Yeah, yeah.
Oof. I mean, Mr. Murray is still just wowing him.
And again, just the energy he has and just... You know, he's one of the quickest, funniest people who's been on that show.
Yeah, I mean, he's just like one of those people who's just like naturally funny. He's just like when he's just he could just like say some random thought that comes out of his head, but it just kind of comes out funny. Or
yeah, there was a thing where Bill Murray was playing like an audience member who was pulled up on stage and he was talking to Steve Martin.
Right,
and Steve Martin on the live show, he asked him, "Have you ever been on TV before?" And Bill Murray would. Not expecting that question, he just goes, "Oh, once in a long shot at a baseball game," which is so quick and so specific, and you really get that Second City improv training,
yeah,
coming out, God. You know, because he was one of the Del Close people.
Oh, that's right.
Del Close was like this big improv icon who basically like helped create the rules of improv with a few other people, and
right.
he trained like folks like Bill Murray. Up to Mike Myers and Tina Fey.
Right. Yeah. Del Close. If you know anything about improv, the world of improv, especially like Chicago improv, like mm-hmm. Del Close is like a god.
He is the guy. And they still have the Del Close improv marathon in his honor. I think that's on his birthday.
I believe you are correct. Year. Yeah. Yeah. Like they have it in New York too, right? Mm-hmm. And at the UCB, I believe. Or?
Yeah. Yeah, at UCB and I think a few other places.
Yeah, yeah.
So there it's like constantly running shows for like an entire weekend, I believe.
Right, yeah. And I mean, after SNL too, Bill Murray had like an amazing career.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to judge these people just by what they did on the show.
Right,
but,
right.
I mean, with Bill Murray, it is tough to separate how huge he was after the show as well.
I know.
He's one of those people who helped shape the face of modern comedy.
I would agree with that.
Yeah.
I absolutely would.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you.
So, you know, and I mean, just for Star Wars, give me the Star Wars.
Oh, wow, this turned to karaoke night all of a sudden.
So, but I mean, Bill Murray, I mean, if I have to argue more in Bill Murray's favor, what are you even doing listening to this?
It's Bill Murray. That's all.
Murray, people.
You don't even need to explain. I don't even know why you had to explain all this stuff. You just had to say Bill Murray and move on.
We should have just moved on to the next choice. Who is your second choice?
My second choice. I guess we're going to hop ahead a few points.
Okay.
We're going to hop ahead a little bit. I'll put on my list one Mr. Eddie Murphy.
Okay.
He's one of my personal favorites, one of my heroes. Like, he's honestly the reason. I probably said this on a podcast a couple times, but he's honestly probably the reason I got into stand-up comedy as a whole, because I remember watching his old the reruns when they showed SNL reruns on VH1 or whatever it was, and like I thought it was so funny on that show. Like I'd watch his stand-up and then I listened to his stand-up, and that made me want to listen to more stand-up. So like he was like, I don't know, in my world, like Eddie Murphy is like the alpha omega of comedy to me. Like when I was like in junior high and high school, like I literally thought he was the funniest person ever in the history of anything, and like I still do to this day. I mean, his sketches were. I mean, he helped bring up the SNL out of the 80s, because there was, we talked about it off mic a while ago. SNL was in that little funk, mm-hmm. you would say.
And after, like, the original cast left.
And after the original cast
Eddie
left.
Eddie Murphy comes in.
Yeah, and then 80 to 81, it was, Saturday Night Dead, as they always say.
Mm-hmm.
But then he came on and he pumped it up. I mean, the buckwheat sketch. The what else? Gumby, of course. James Brown, Hot Tub.
I was just about to bring that up.
Hot Tub. It's such a silly, dumb sketch, but it's just the guy dressed as James Brown dancing around the hot tub saying, Hot Tub.
Right.
Gonna get in the water.
Yeah.
But goddamn it, he does it and it's funny.
He commits to it and he takes it as far as it can go. And
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, if anybody else did it, we'd probably be like, all right, enough of this. What is this?
Right.
But, like, he just is able to make it better. And what else? Oh, God, I'm forgetting a bunch of stuff he did, of course. Oh, Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood. One of the funniest.
Yeah.
You're
at a loss for words.
I love Eddie Murphy. All right, I said it. Like that one. Like, I remember watching that sketch when I was a kid, and mm-hmm. like the part where he has to answer the door, and it's like, "Oh, this is how you answer the door in my neighborhood." Who is it? God damn it!
Yeah,
I think we blew out the mics with that one.
Yeah, probably. Probably.
Oh boy.
All right, well, yeah, Eddie. I also put him on my list because I was thinking about it. It was, and. What it came down to for me was just Eddie is just too historically significant to the show to not put him in that top tier, because he's the guy. He more or less saved the show in the early 80s.
Very much
the show very well could have come to an end if he hadn't broken out when he did.
Right.
And it's amazing to think he was like a really young guy. He was like 19 or 20.
He was super young. Like
he was like living at home, and he gets on SNL, and then
he was like Pete Davidson young.
Yeah, and then after a year or two, he is like the biggest comedy thing going in comedy.
Yeah, I mean, after this, it was, what, Trading Places?
Trading Places, 48 Hours.
Beverly Hills Cop.
I mean, and that's an amazing run.
Yeah. Like,
in the movies.
Like, his first, well, no, I mean, there was Best Defense in there somewhere, but like, but those three movies, like, his first movie, then they were like the mm-hmm, biggest movies, mm-hmm. like, even to this day.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
and
it was bonkers.
I remember in the Live from New York book, Chris Rock was saying, yeah, Eddie is the biggest star to come out of that show.
I'll give
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, he's like, if you say somebody else, you're making a racist argument.
Oh, wow.
Like, Eddie's the biggest. Just, there's no question.
I'm really trying to think. I mean, maybe you could say Mike Myers, but not real. I mean, no, he's not around.
Mm. Yeah, I mean.
Or maybe Will Ferrell?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
But, I mean, it's just like his run on the show. And that the run of 48 Hours, Beverly Hills Cop, and Trading Places, I may be getting those out of order. That's a pretty amazing
run. That's very
run.
Impressive, yeah.
And I think at least a couple of those shows, I know at least 48 Hours, he was still on the show when he did that.
Yeah, yeah, I think he was. But yeah, I mean, my God. I love Eddie Murphy, I'm sorry.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, he's one of the big ones. Okay, so let's see. We're on to our number three choices now, right?
I think I did. What did I do? My third? Oh wait, no, that was my second. All right.
That was your second. Yeah, Eddie was number four on my list.
Hey.
I had him out of the chronological order, but I put him in there. The next person on my list was Mr. Phil Hartman. He was nicknamed the glue when he was on the show because. He was the guy who was holding it all together.
I mean, he could literally, not literally, but he could pretty much do anything in any sketch.
Mm-hmm. He could be the straight man in a sketch. He could be the funny one or the outrageous one in the sketch.
Yeah. He could do accents. He could, like, you know, be like the super serious dude. He can mm-hmm. get super, like, sometimes he would have, be like, what you call it? Like, you know, be a kind of super serious guy, but then he would do, you know, he'd be Frankenstein and be fire mm-hmm. bad.
Fire bad. And there's that one Frankenstein sketch where he breaks in the middle.
Yeah,
and it's
I
just,
remember that.
Oh, it's one of those rare sketches where it's all the funnier because they broke.
Right. But I think it's funny, also funny because, like, he rarely broke.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He was one of those guys that's known just not for breaking. So when he mm-hmm. did break, it's like, oh.
It meant something. He wasn't like Jimmy Falloning it up.
Yeah. Falloning. Oh, Jimmy Fallon.
It's tough to make his name into a verb.
Jimmy Fallon-ing. There you go.
Falloning.
The Falloning.
The Falloning.
Yeah.
I remember that miniseries. That was a good miniseries.
It was good.
The Falloning.
The Falloning.
When everybody came down with that mysterious laughing disease.
Yeah, everybody was just giggling.
They just giggled constantly.
Yeah. Looking into the camera.
Yeah. Yeah.
Looking directly into the
It was kind of like The Happening, only with...
More Fallon.
With more Jimmy Fallon.
Now with 100% more Fallon.
Yes. So,
all right, back to Hartman. Let's get off Fallon and get on Hartman.
Okay.
That sounded naughty.
It sounds a little kinky, but, you know.
But, yeah, you know, I mean, the Unfrozen Caveman Lawyer sketch. That sketch is, like, one of those sketches where you hear the premise and you're like, what? Mm-hmm. It sounds dumb. And again, like, it's one of those sketches where I think if anybody else did it, it wouldn't have been as good. But because mm-hmm. he did it, it made it better. Like,
yeah.
it's like a very simple, weird, bizarre sketch,
mm-hmm.
but he pulls it off. And that's incredible.
Yeah, and it's exactly what it says on the tin. It's a caveman who is unfrozen, who is mm-hmm. like frozen, and he comes out in the modern world, and he becomes this sleazebag lawyer.
Yeah.
And you they just show him. Yeah, he's just
like
doing
a Lionel Hutz almost.
Yes, exactly.
Before
Lionel Hutz, and he was. He's giving his closing argument. He's just, I'm just a caveman. Things about your modern world frighten and confuse me. And I turn on my TV. Do little spirits inhabit it and make those sounds?
But there's one thing I do know.
Yes.
Do you remember the anal retentive chef?
Oh, of course.
Anal retentive
yes.
Fisherman or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Thing. That was, I mean, it was just, and one of my... One of my favorite sketches is when he did Sinatra in the Sinatra Group.
That I rewatched a bit of that.
I mean, there's no way he can get away with half that stuff he said now, but it. God damn it!
Rita Hayworth or Ava Gardner, who would you rather nail? I disqualify myself because I've done them both.
Sinbad O'Connor,
and that's just a great sketch because it's just solid all the way through. It's got Phil Hartman as Sinatra. His Sinatra is amazing.
Yeah.
You have Jan Hooks as Sinead O'Connor.
Sinbad O'Connor.
You have Sting as Billy Idol.
Wow.
And Sting is killing it as Billy Idol.
He really did.
He's doing the sneers. You had Chris Rock as
Luther Campbell
from Two Live Crew.
Or Uncle Luke. And Steve Lawrence and Edie Gourmet, Victoria Jackson, and Mike Myers.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
and they're just like sycophanting it up.
You said it, Frank.
Yeah. You're just lucky to travel in my wake.
I got chunks of guys like you in my stool.
It's just a solid sketch all the way through. That's one of his best.
We're going to talk about that on the next episode.
Yeah, yeah.
I got chunks of guys like you in my stool.
But it's a great sketch. And, I mean, I would be hard-pressed. If you like, sat me down and said, name a sketch that Phil Hartman was bad in. I don't think I would be able to do that.
I really can't think of one.
I mean, he was always there. He was always solid. He was always giving his scene partners great stuff to work
with. He was on all the time. Oh, my God.
I just remember now, like, he would occasionally do, like, Peter Graves from Mission Impossible. He'd be like,
remember.
Hello, I'm Peter Graves. And
oh, yeah. I can't remember that.
Yeah, just...
Or when he did his Charlton Heston. And
his Charlton Heston. His Phil Donahue. I mean...
Yeah. Oh, we did the Charlton Heston where he read Madonna's sex book. Like, I like my vagina.
God, I'd forgotten that.
Remember that?
Yes, yes. I think, like, some radio show I used to listen to, probably Opie and Anthony, they use the, I like my vagina. They use that as a sound clip.
As like we program. All should.
Right.
I'm absolutely. Making that in my ringtone tonight. I like my vagina.
I like my vagina. Oh. So that was my number three. So.
Oh, that felt good. That was good.
Yeah.
Oh, Lordy Lou. All right. Oh, my turn?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Number three.
I'll put... I had some... Okay, you know what? I'll put this one. This might be a controversial one.
Controversy.
I think I'll stand by this. I think I've said this on the podcast. I think she was criminally underrated. I'll say Jan Hooks.
Okay.
I will say, if you look, you've noticed that she was in a lot of sketches with Hartman, mm-hmm. and she was one of the few people that could keep up with
Hartman. She would hold her own.
Yeah, she would hold her own very well. I mean, she did like a lot of great impressions, like when they did Jim and Tammy Faye Baker.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was up there with him.
When spirits, I rebuke you.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. And even when she was the Sweeney Sisters with Nora Dunn, she was mm-hmm. awesome. And I don't know, like, every time she was in a sketch, like, she definitely made it better. That old mm-hmm. Commercial, what was the Obsession commercial?
Oh, yeah.
Or Compulsion.
Yeah.
That I think. She was
She's compulsively cleaning.
Yeah, exactly.
And, but it was shot like a Calvin Klein
cologne.
Yeah, but it was black and white. And,
yeah, exactly. But it was like a for disinfectant. And they called it.
Yes.
Look it up, guys. It's a great. Yes. But I don't know. I always really liked her. I thought she was like a really strong cast member. I thought she was always great.
Mm-hmm.
And I still do.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. She was always so. She wasn't somebody who had, I think, a whole lot of recurring characters or breakout characters, but she was always there in this. I mean, outside of like something like the Sweeney Sisters.
That's true. I'm trying to think. I'm sure. I know she did. Was it Bette Davis? Because wasn't there a sketch like when was it Bette Davis?
I think so.
Like she passed away, and mm-hmm. then they showed her her last will to her kids.
Oh yeah, it was like a video will. I vaguely remember.
Or maybe
that.
It was Joan Crawford, something like that.
No, I think you got it right the first time. I think it was Bette Davis.
Yeah, something like that. Where then, like, they showed a video of her talking to her mm-hmm, kids, mm-hmm. and it's like, "Oh, you get nothing because mm-hmm. you wrote a terrible hollow tell-all book, and I want you to have a bad life."
Yeah, maybe I should amend that. Like, she didn't have as many recurring characters as you might expect of a cast member of her caliber.
No, she didn't. But I really feel like the stuff she was in was pretty strong. Mm-hmm. She was a very. I think she's underrated.
I think so.
With anybody.
I think maybe she's a little forgotten today because she maybe didn't go on to as many big things after the show.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Like what did she do after? Like Designing Women.
Yeah, she was on Designing Women for like the last year or two.
She was in Pee Wee's Big Adventure. Yeah,
I've forgotten that.
There's no basement at the Alamo.
Okay. And I remember her doing like a few guest spots on sitcoms. Like, I mean, I think she was on Third Rock from the Sun. She was on some other things. But I think she like kind of stepped back from the industry by choice.
Oh, okay.
Like I was reading an article about her. I think it was after she passed away, and she led a pretty private life.
Mm.
Didn't want to be part of the whole rat race of Hollywood, I guess.
She wanted to be part of the machine. I can dig it. I can understand. You know, this Hollywood, this showbiz isn't for everybody, baby.
No.
Business we call show.
But, she was always great.
Yeah. All right, so Jan Hooks, that's one of mine. What do you got? I think we went through this list pretty quickly.
Well, let's see. I mean, the next person on my list, we already hit on the number four on my list, so I'll skip over to number five, who's somebody who's in the current cast.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm going there.
Are you going to say who I think you're going to say?
I'm going to say Miss Kate McKinnon. Who did
I was going to say Strong.
I love Cicely
Strong. That's what I thought it was going to be.
I do love the Cicely Strong.
You have strong
she's
love.
Wonderful. I have strong feelings for Cecily. But I gotta give it to Kate McKinnon. Kate McKinnon is she is like the person on the show right now.
I don't disagree with
that. And I would put her in the same league as like a Gilda Radner or a Jan Hooks.
I definitely see her as like a the new kind of like a standout star. You said, whenever she's in it, I always think, all right, this guy's going to be okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like what we were saying about the other people is she always elevates the material that she's in.
Right.
And if the sketch maybe isn't as funny as it could or should be,
right,
she will make that funny just by going out there. And she's
like
great.
You can always tell like when they know a cast member is strong when like the whole sketch is just basically based around her.
Yeah.
When they do when she plays that aging actress on the on the panel, and like all the actresses just have kind of normal things to say, and then she says some wackadoo stuff. Or what's the other sketch? Like when they
have the alien
alien abduction, and like she says like some insane.
And she's like, "What? That wasn't my experience." And the aliens did much more heinous stuff to her.
Exactly. Then she's just off to the races. Or when it's usually at the end of the show when she's like that bar fly that's at the end of the closing. And like she ended up like licking Louis C.K.'s face or something that, or
as you are wont to do.
Yeah,
in a bar at
Kenan Thompson's like doing stuff
reacting
to avert his
eyes.
Yeah, like it's one of those things where you can tell. Oh, they just said, all right, here's the setting. Kate McKinnon Just do something with it.
And I mean, she's got some amazing impressions too. She's, you know, Hillary Clinton. She did Kellyanne Conway.
Bieber.
The Justin Bieber was amazing.
Yeah, I didn't think anybody could do a Justin Bieber, and she just went ahead and did like this awesome Bieber.
I remember an interview with her where she said the secret to her doing Justin Bieber was acting like he was a dog or puppy who just piddled on the carpet. So
it's pretty solid. It's not wrong.
That's a take.
So all you actors out there, it's a little acting tip
I mean,
for you.
Yeah, and she just, I am in awe of her.
Ellen DeGeneres, she does as well.
She does a great Ellen.
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
We were praising her Ruth Bader Ginsburg a couple weeks ago on the show, I think, and when she did it on a recent episode, and
that's a Ginsburg, and then she just breaks down and starts dancing.
Which has like probably nothing to do with a real Ruth Bader Ginsburg, but it's so funny you don't care.
Yeah, it's just like I like it. I like what you're doing here.
I mean, she's just adorable, and I don't see how you can't have a crush on Kate McKinnon.
She's
male or female.
Yeah. You know? What gender is fluid.
Exactly.
Whatever you like. Exactly. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. Like, I mean, I think they know she's the breakout star. Mm-hmm. We all know she's the breakout star. She's just going to keep on breaking out.
One of my favorite Kate McKinnon sketches, and I would kick myself if I didn't mention this, was one she did a couple years ago with, I'm blanking on the host's name. The
Describe him.
J. Jonah Jameson.
J.K.
Simmons. J.K. Simmons. Where
I
they were doing.
K-K. I almost said KKK.
She was doing a sketch with the KKK.
Got it.
And, and she's even adorable in that.
they have good. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, it was her and J.K. Simmons. They were doing the end of Casablanca. And J.K. Simmons is playing Rick and she's playing Elsa. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is like he mentions that this plane will take her away to safety. And she's like, oh, yes, is that the plane? I'll go get it on it now, yes. And and the whole gag is that Elsa is just ready to ditch Rick in a split second so she can get away from the Nazis. And she's just so goofy in that. That's one of my favorite things she's ever done. That was wonderful.
I don't remember that because I got to go back and watch it.
Well, yeah, you should.
I will. I'll look it right. I'm going to watch it right now.
So yeah, Kate McKinnon. She is the number five on my list.
All right. And see who I got just to round up my list. A guy from the era when the SNL was coming back again, because in the mid, like we talked about off mic, like in the mid 90s, kind of dipped, but then it went back up.
I think I know who this is going to be.
Who you think it's going to be?
Would it be Mr. Will Ferrell?
It is a Mr. Will Ferrell. Yeah. I mean. Again, like he was the dude. I mean, he didn't have. I mean, as far as impressions go, I don't think he had too many. Like he had, you know, George W. Bush.
His George W. Bush is amazing. He did Harry Carey.
Oh right, Harry Carey. Shit, yes.
His Harry Carey.
I didn't even know
amazing.
Who that was, but I just thought it was goofy. But then afterwards, I was like, "Who's this guy, Harry Carey?" I guess he's more like a Chicago staple.
I think the beauty of that is it works whether you know who Harry Carey is or not.
Yeah.
Like it could work as a parody of Harry Carey, and I don't think I really knew him before that.
I don't think a lot of people did, because like I remember when. I think it was the first sketch he did. I think it was with Jeff Goldblum, I believe.
Yes.
He was like, hey, everybody. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember the audience I didn't hear too much like acknowledgement from the audience. They're like, oh, yeah, right. Harry Carey. I think he was just like one of those characters that, like only a few people know.
Mm-hmm.
But you said, like the character is just so over the top and bizarre and goofy that you just like kind of go with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, would you eat the moon if it was made out of ribs?
I think maybe.
And Jeff Goldblum's like, what'd you say?
Yeah.
You heard me. Would you eat the moon if it was made out of ribs?
And it's so rare that Jeff Goldblum isn't the oddest person in a sketch.
That's a rarity.
You don't really see Jeff Goldblum being the straight man too much.
Not too much, but back to Will Ferrell, sorry. But like he's just one of those dudes, like again, you put him in a sketch, like everything he kind of says and does is just funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like the get off the shed, like just get off the, I will beat you to death with a rake if you don't get off that shed.
Because like, he just throws himself into it. He just
very much so. He's just like, what else, the Bill Brasky sketch or... God, what else? He's done so much stuff. I can't think of everything. But, when he was on the Weekend Update and he was like the guy that couldn't modulate his voice and just talk loud.
But I can.
And of course, Oh, the lovers in the hot tub. It was just so bizarre.
Him and Rachel Dratch.
Yeah, him and Rachel Dratch, or him and Anna Gasteyer as the two people, the two parents singing.
Oh yeah.
I forget
the cheerleaders.
Cheerleaders. Cheerleaders sketch. The first time I saw it, cheerleaders sketch. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
The two dudes at him and Chris Kattan, the two dudes at the nightclub.
The Batabi brothers.
Robert Goulet. Oh, Goulet.
Goulet.
Yeah, because like he's not. His impressions like that, they're not like dead on impressions, mm-hmm. but like he kind of captures, like, I guess the essence of the character, where it's like, yeah, this is close enough that you could see Robert Goulet saying his name over and over.
He takes something and he just exaggerates it and he takes it into this new, wonderfully bizarre place.
Yeah, exactly. Or sometimes he kind of plays it straight, like when he did like Alex Trebek in the Jeopardy sketch.
Yeah.
Like, that's a sketch where he's kind of.
He's very restrained.
He's very restrained, and he lets, you know, Daryl Hammond, Sean Connery kind of take center stage.
Right, and I think that really worked for that sketch because the celebrities in those sketches were always so stupid or insane or both.
Right, very much so.
And it wouldn't have worked if he was a bizarre character as well.
Absolutely.
He was very restrained. He was trying to maintain his dignity.
Right.
And yeah.
Yeah, so he was more restrained, but then he could let loose and be bizarre, like when he did like that Neil Diamond impression where it was really good too. I'm trying to think of other stuff he's done, but I mean, that's a good chunk enough.
That's yeah. I think. Well, I think we've made the case for Mr. Will.
Yeah. I mean, he's just one of those dudes, like no matter what he says or does, it just kind of comes out funny, and just his kind of slight body movements just make things or just funnier or something. Mm-hmm, like it mm-hmm. was, I mean, Will Ferrell, my God, what a treasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what I got. That's the end of your list too.
That was through my big five. So we've assembled like a super team.
Yes.
Of SNL greats.
We have a Justice League. We have a table.
They're like a super group. They're like the traveling Wilburys.
Yes.
Of SNL.
Absolutely. So do you have any honorable mentions? I have a couple.
Oh like, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, I'll admit, like some of these. Now I look at these, maybe I might want to change somebody to my five, but mm-hmm. this is what I had in the moment. One of my favorites growing up, I'm going to say Mr. Dana Carvey.
Yeah.
I thought he, again, like he was like one of those dudes that just could do, he did like real pretty spot on impressions with his mm-hmm. stuff. Like, you know, George Bush Sr. Yeah. What else did he do? Church Lady
is one of my favorite SNL characters still.
It's just such as like a simple kind of character. It's mm-hmm. like, oh, well.
And it was, yeah, and it was just based on a little truth of you always had that very self-righteous, literally holier-than-thou person who would be like, oh, well, you didn't show up at church last week. I guess some of us only worship when it's convenient. And
it's so silly. Well, I love it, yeah.
And he had,
He did a great Paul McCartney impression.
Oh, yeah, it's the definitive Paul McCartney.
It's bloody madness.
Yeah. Well, you know, you do this thing, and go around and do the flippity floob, and you know, and then where are you?
Oh my! And then what have you got?
And then what have you got? You know, he always his McCartney would always just go into nonsensical words.
Yeah, but it's like that sounds like pure McCartney to me.
Yeah, I love Dana Carvey.
Ross
Perot was great.
Yeah, I mean, he was just like one. Maybe he should be in my five. Now that I think about it.
He's
like,
somebody who I'd say just missed being on my five.
Yeah, I would say so. Like he's just one of those. Like I remember, he's just one of those guys who just every time his Dennis Miller impression was hilarious.
Oh, yeah,
he did an impression of somebody on the show on SNL
next to the person.
I
mean, that's ballsy. That's.
I mean, who does that?
That's that's incredible.
No one's doing a Colin Jost impression.
No. I don't even know what that would look like.
Very vanilla.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I just did that to make you happy, just because I know your Joe's feelings.
Yeah.
All right, so who's on your...
let's see. The other people on my honorable mention, we've brought them up to some degree or another. Will Ferrell and Gilda Radner, but somebody we haven't mentioned yet, Amy Poehler.
Oh,
Amy Poehler is another person who I just was... She was amazing. She was very versatile.
Yeah. I think her and Faye were probably my favorite Weekend Update anchors,
mm-hmm.
like of all time. I think.
I think that.
I also like the Dennis Miller too, but
yeah. Well, I love Dennis Miller back in the day, back in the 80s. He took a turn later on.
He did take a turn,
which is really kind of amazing when you think about it. But I think my favorite ever run on Weekend Update was that run where you had Tina Fey and Jimmy Fallon. Then it went to Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, mm-hmm. and then Amy Poehler and Seth Meyers.
Right.
Like, all those they all had great chemistry, and I love that it was like a smooth transition from one team to the other.
Yeah.
And yeah, the writing was always just really, really solid.
Very much so.
And she was great on Weekend Update, but she also killed in sketches.
She was really good in sketches too.
One character of hers that really pops out at me was when she did Dakota Fanning.
Oh yeah.
When Dakota Fanning was like this precocious child actress, and she'd have a Dakota Fanning talk show where Dakota Fanning was like 10 times, at like age 8 or 9 or something, Dakota Fanning was 10 times more articulate than anyone.
Oh, yeah, I love that sketch. Wow.
Who came on the show.
I totally forgot about that, but I remember loving that sketch a lot.
There was, I think, one of the earliest Amy Poehler sketches that I loved was where she's like on a blind date with somebody,
mm-hmm.
and she asks the date, she's like, so what's a good time to tell someone that you've done some porn? And the guy's like, what? You've done some porn? She's like, what? No, I haven't. And it was just great. I've tried to find the sketch online. I don't think it's online, but it was so funny.
I don't remember that. I remember she did a sketch that was really funny where she was like Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I think she was talking to her, like her lawyer, about getting divorced from Kevin Federline. And mm-hmm. she had this weird, like Britney, like country accent.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not doing it justice, but she had a really good kind of impression or pseudo impression of Britney Spears that I really liked a lot.
She did Avril Lavigne, I remember. She was always like Avril Lavigne.
I'm punk.
And I mean, she was really good at those types of characters.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember her, like, she would do bit parts on Conan O'Brien's show. She played, like, Andy's little sister who had the crush on Conan.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Very, very embarrassed by it. And she also did a great Hillary Clinton.
She did. She did a Hillary. I mean, we'll probably talk about it in the next episode about the Clinton, Palin, Tina Fey sketch. I mean, that was iconic.
That's one of the all-time great sketches.
One of the greats.
And, oh gosh! I mean, the what was the thing she did with Maya Rudolph? It was a Brooklyn Beat.
Oh, Brooklyn Beat! I love Brooklyn Beat. Fuck, I gotta rethink my list.
Well, I mean, it's really tough to narrow it down to just five.
Yeah, but the Brooklyn Beat. Oh no, Bronx Beat. What am I saying?
Bronx Beat. You're right.
But yeah, that was really good. They played like two kind of. Yeah, middle-aged moms.
Sweater weather.
Sweater weather.
Sweater weather.
Like I remember, like a bunch of my friends. Like, yeah, I know numerous moms who are exactly like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and they played off each other so well.
They were good.
Yeah.
Yeah, Amy Poehler. She's oof. Well, we may have to redo these lists. This is embarrassing. All right. So another one who's on my honorable mentions. We didn't mention before, Mr. Chris Farley.
Chris Farley?
He was like kind of like Belushi 2.0, where he was just mm-hmm. like a big old ball of energy, and like everything he just kind of just threw himself in, really. He was, mm-hmm. Just over the top, but like just really funny too. I mean, we'll talk about this on the favorite sketches episode, but the Matt Foley episode, I mean, mm-hmm. like what a way to introduce yourself to the world. I mean, my Lord.
Was that real early in his tenure?
I feel like it was the first thing. That was the first time I remember
his first breakout thing.
Yeah, that was definitely the first breakout thing. I remember that was the first thing he was in where everybody afterwards was like, "Who's that guy?"
Mm-hmm.
Like once he did that sketch, he was on everybody's radar.
And you know who wrote that sketch?
Who wrote that sketch?
Bob Odenkirk.
Oh, Bobby O.
Better call Saul. Saul Goodman.
Saul Goodman. Wow, I did not know that.
Jimmy McGill. Wrote he was writing for SNL same time as like Conan O'Brien,
yeah,
Smigel,
yeah, absolutely,
all those guys,
the greats. And, but yeah, like I mean, just him, like you could see like everybody breaking. You could see like Christina Applegate, who was in it, was mm-hmm. kind of like hiding her face.
They're all covering up. They're trying to
hide
their faces.
And just I mean, he's just like a whirlwind, just like picking up David Spade and just mm-hmm. falling over tables and breaking them. I'm like, my god,
and just yeah, and again, like he had that grace that you would not expect of somebody his size.
Exactly.
He was like, I don't know, probably around 300 pounds, something like
it
that.
It was like, he was bigger than Belushi, but he moved as well as Belushi.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, Belushi was like his idol, from what I understand.
Yeah, he would, very much so.
He would like, sometimes he would find pants in wardrobe that were Belushi's pants, and he would wear those whenever he could.
Yeah, very much
Belushi
so.
Belushi was like his idol.
Yeah, but then sometimes he took it down a little bit, like when he did mm-hmm. the Chris Farley talk show. Where
I was going to bring that up.
Like, remember?
That is probably my favorite thing that he ever did, was where he just did the awkward interviews And I think the iconic one for that is him and Paul McCartney.
Yeah. Oh,
my God. Where he's like, so, like, in the 60s, people were saying you were dead. That was a hoax, right? And Paul McCartney's just like, yeah, I wasn't really dead.
Okay. And then, I mean, I think what made it so funny is that, like, so many people could see themselves being that guy. Like, if you're around a big star, big celebrity, you just get, like, tongue-tied and sweaty. You don't know what to say. And
I'm sure even the SNL people went through that.
Yeah.
I mean, even in a job like that where you're meeting celebrities on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
I mean, still, I mean, you don't meet a Beatle every day.
So. Yeah, that's a big old deal.
I don't see how meeting Paul McCartney is not a big deal, even if you're famous yourself.
Exactly. When you're going to see all these stars, you're going to get a little starstruck.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be
That's one of the all-time great sketches, I think.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's a wonderful sketch.
Absolutely. So, yeah, I would Chris Farley. Chris Farley is my honorable mentions. Anybody else you got?
The only other person I put in my honorable mentions was Dan Aykroyd.
Ooh,
who, Aykroyd. Again, original cast member, an amazing utility player, okay. I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Bassmaster.
Bassmaster. Fred Garvin, male prostitute.
That's terrific. You know, now,
I have an elaborate series of trusses. And his Tom Snyder. My God, his Tom Snyder.
I feel like Aykroyd kind of gets forgotten, but people kind of forget that he did like a bunch of great, like one of his favorite, the toy salesman.
Oh yeah, the toy safety.
He had like the Chicago accent,
right? The bag of glass.
Yeah, it's a bag of glass. Why? You kids love it. Fun. Yeah. You know, it's a fun toy.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean that character I liked a lot.
Yes. Yes. And also one half of the Blues Brothers.
One half of the Blues moved just as well as Belushi. Like, I mean,
when they did Soul Man on SNL, and just that clip where the two of them are dancing at the beginning, just watching the move, I'm still just amazed.
Yeah. It's always amazing when you see like a cast member or just anybody who has like another talent that you weren't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the last episode, we talked about Chris Redd when he was like, you know, dancing and moving, doing all wobble with his legs. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, whoa, look, what's he doing? Like, you know, like when you see some, or like when you see, like when Conan O'Brien did his show and he like was playing guitar.
Oh, yeah.
When he was
doing
Sam's, like, oh, Conan plays guitar. Like, you know, when you see them doing another skill, like, you're like, whoa. You don't just make the funny, you do the dancing and the musics too?
Yeah.
It's always like, all right. But yeah, Aykroyd. Yeah, I mean, Aykroyd was good stuff. Great, good stuff. And I think do I have one more? I have a few more.
Bring us on home, Darren. Come on.
I'll say Tina Fey.
Tina Fey.
Yeah. I mean, her stuff behind the desk I thought was hilarious. Her characters were funny and amazing.
And her writing.
Her writing is
It
was just sharp as a knife. I mean, oh my God. Even like, or the times where she was on Weekend Update and she just kind of was like, had like a monologue about stuff. I always thought they were like really funny.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
I remember like after 9/11, they were talking about the new alert system or something. And she just at one point just went, bitch, I can't get any more alert than I already am. I love Tina Fey.
Tina Fey is awesome. So
she's just amazing.
And that's what I got.
All right. So those are our picks.
That's right.
Do you agree? Do you disagree? Let us know.
Yeah. If you got problems, just you know where to find us.
Come at us on Twitter. I'm on there. I'm a Trumbull comic on Twitter.
I'm Darren Credible on Twitter. Darin Credible.
So let us know if you agree. If you disagree.
Yeah.
If you think we're idiots,
scream at us angrily.
Just use the hashtag SNL nerds.
Yes, please, and, SNL nerds.
You know, let's get that trending.
Yeah, let's come on, man.
I mean, it's yeah.
Yeah.
So
let's get this party started. Let's get this party started.
So, right? But but this has been fun. So I think we're gonna wind it up here. But we're gonna be back next week. We're gonna be talking all about our favorite. All-time sketches.
Favorite all-time sketches.
So, we may have given you hints of a few of the ones that we picked already.
We probably dropped a few gems.
You can make some educated guesses.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that, and we will see you around. We're going to... I think I hear the music starting up.
Oh, there it is. Oh, yeah. Music to my ears.
So, we're going to wind it up. But thank you for listening. This has been the SL Nerds. I'm... I'm John Trumbull.
You're John Trumbull.
Yeah.
I'm Darren Patterson.
All right, and we'll see you next week.
Later.
Bye. One little thing that we forgot, we have a show coming up that we need to plug.
We do.
So if you're in the northern New Jersey area, we've got a show coming up on Sunday, October the 28th at Tierney's Tavern in Montclair.
Yeah.
We're going to be co-hosting, and several of our friends are performing. We got Natty Bumper Car. We got Alex Cedric. We got Doug Max. We got Omar Orbison. Got Aaron Comer Wahlberg. And our headliners... McDonald and Carney.
They play all around the place.
They're very funny guys. They're great improvisers. You might know them from the Dumbfellas podcast.
Of course.
They're friends of the show.
Yeah.
And Darren and I are going to be hosting and bringing the funny.
Yes. There'll be comedy.
Comedy and...
I was going to say costume contest, and it came out just as comedy.
And the costume contest as well.
And giveaways and candy and comedy.
And free stuff, yes. So please come out and support if you're anywhere near Montclair, New Jersey. This will be Sunday, October 28th at 7:30.
Yes. Seating at 7.
Seating at 7. Call for reservations. Call 973-396-6952, or you email... 414, that's spelled out, at comcast.net. 414 at comcast.net to make a reservation.
Right. So it's a Tierney's Tavern, 136 Valley Road in beautiful Montclair, New Jersey.
Yes. And we will be co-hosting. If we've done anything that's entertained you on this show the last 4 weeks, please come out and say hi.
Yeah, exactly. We'll take pictures. We'll sign faces. We'll do it all.
We'll sign body parts.
Yeah.
Within reason.
Within reason. I have a wife.
Within reason. Yes. So I hope to see you there. So thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Howdy, folks. This is Frank from non-productive.com interrupting your podcast feed for this urgent message. We're putting on our first Kickstarter, and we need your help to reach our goal
and beyond.
NonPro is planning a movie night. A movie marathon where we're streaming some of the best of the worst flicks of all time, and we're raising money to cover operating expenses for the year. Every dollar you donate gets us closer to some truly, truly terrible films, and we're going to stream the entire experiment for you, our loyal fans and supporters. Oh, and hey, we're also donating some cash to the ACLU, because protecting our right to speak out is sort of important, don't you think? And if you support our Kickstarter, there are some awesome rewards in it for you, including watching some ridiculously amazing films with us in studio. To donate, please head over to non-productive.com/movie night and show us your support. Thanks.
This has been a Non-Productive Media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.